Okay, and we are back. Hour number three. Glad you're along tonight. What we're going to do this hour is basically talk to someone. This is going to be a very difficult story to do in some ways because one of our guests has, in fact, both of them, have Morgellons. One of them is in England, and he's going to tell his story about what he has run up against in trying to find somebody over there who would take this seriously, give him something, anything to try to help him. But what he's run into is like one of the worst screenplays of a fright movie you can imagine. Let's find out, first of all, if Cliff Mickelson is up and ready. Are you there, Cliff? Hello, Cliff. Are you there? Okay, we're getting Cliff Mickelson in a moment. We have standing by very early in the morning in England, Andy Coyle. And Andy, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you, sir, for getting up. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm in terrible agony. My small intestine is just on fire. It's burning up. To explain, I've had Morgellons disease since 1996 when I came back from Australia. I started coming in lesions and skin crawling, my hair moving, mm-hmm. and finding
you had oh, that you're and that's something that we might want to mention just a little bit more in detail, Andy. People who get Morgellons often report that their hair follicles are no longer hair follicles and they move, and this is not a joke.
Well, what I've discovered is having the disease for so long and trying to find answers to the questions, I discovered that your hair follicle root becomes black, distended and gooey. It'll stick to anything. It's put on paper and a minute later it dries out and it will lift the paper up, you know. And when heated, when exposed to a flame or something, they actually physically jump away. They jump away from it. And whether they're a different organism from here or no, I don't know, but they definitely change. And my hair colour changed from fair to dark, but the hair roots become black, gooey and distended. And I think that's an early test for the disease. My family's hair is all affected by it, and some neighbours as well reported having the same symptoms, but they don't have the skin, the other Morgellons type symptoms as yet. I believe that a lot of people are affected, you know, infected but not affected yet by this disease. I've done a lot of research into the possible causes of Morgellons disease, yeah, and I've came firmly down on the decision that, my opinion, is caused by the genetic modification of things like crops of cotton and whatnot, and the effects that's having on not only us, but on things like honeybees and stuff as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Andy, let me go back, if I might, to something you said, which is very important, and that is that people may well be infested, victimized, or otherwise resident to Morgellons, and not have any overt symptoms yet. What do you think, Andy, is the percentage of transmission direct from person to person? It does seem to have a habit of jumping over people. It doesn't infect everyone who comes into contact with someone who has it.
Well, what I believe is, I believe it enters your body through the hair follicle. And because there's no immune system in the hair follicle, no white blood cells, and that's why the hair changes over time. It resides in the hair follicle, which has got a direct capillary blood supply. Yeah? Every hair has that. And then it moves into the skin, and that's when the skin crawling starts and the feeling that there's worms in your skin and the lesions appear. These symptoms are not for everyone, though. I think people that have got them in their hair don't automatically get the skin symptoms. But that's an early indication that the disease is present, yeah? What's happened with me is, Jeff, is it's now moved into my internal organs and especially my small intestine. I started noticing white fibres in my stool, hundreds and thousands of them. And I had them analysed, and it came back protein, but not worms, yeah? And there were just thousands and thousands in my stool and in my urine, yeah? And I started getting stomach pains and the like. And what's happened is I've been in hospital a number of times recently, and they keep x-raying me and telling me that my small intestine, which is not a large bowel, is full of stool, and it doesn't move. Now, you can't get fecal impacts in small intestine, but they tell me that's what I've got, yeah? Huh. I'm in agony. My small intestine is burning constantly. I took so many laxatives I can't take anymore, and thousands of these, what they look like white worms now, come out, and they tell me they're protein, and...
Protein. What the hell kind of a diagnosis is that? It's protein.
I know it's unknown protein, and that's what they tell me. And they just don't want to eat. They're not interested in helping me. They tell me I'll get irritable bowel syndrome and rubbish like that. But
they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. And you get stigmatized, Morgellons stamp on your medical file, and that's you finished. You know. But
okay.
I'm actually dying. I can't eat now. I can't eat at all. I can barely drink. My intestines are burning constantly.
This is
horrible. I was awake when you rung anyway, because I don't sleep very much now. I'm just in agony. But I'd like to say, I discovered that the cotton fiber was motile, yeah? And I had some analysis, microcellular analysis done of the cotton fiber, and the genetically modified BT cotton fiber used to be 100% cellulose. It now returns as being protein. So
now, wait a minute. This is very interesting. Jeffrey Smith is on this program once a month. He is leading the fight against GMO. He has also been to India and is well aware of the BT cotton. It has caused
killing cows and the like, yeah.
Well, kills, that's right. And it has resulted in the suicides of over 200,000 Indian farmers who have killed themselves. They've lost everything. Now, what you're telling me is that the BT fibers in cotton are motile, they move, and that they'll test out at some kind of a protein level, like the fibers that you're describing that are coming out of your kidneys and everywhere else.
Yeah, well, I did believe, I originally believed it was Heterohabditis bacteria flora, which is a genetically modified nematode that was causing the disease, but I was led to find that BT cotton fiber is, in my opinion, is the cause of Morgellons disease.
Really?
What it does, yes, and I've filmed it, I put it on YouTube, not just me, I've filmed the cotton. What happens is you get a pure cotton fiber and you saturate it with water and it starts moving around. Now, when they're in the plant, in the cotton ball, they're damp and saturated anyway, yeah, as they grow. Now, they found out that feeding lab rats cotton fibers and cotton seeds, they died of multi-organ failure. And the cows in India and the like have been dying.
That's right.
Cotton.
That's right. Yeah. They eat the BT cotton crops and they die.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What I believe is this, the Morgellons disease is caused by 1995, they genetically modified the cotton plant, yeah?
19 when?
The honeybee started 1995, yeah?
Okay, right.
And it's now 90% of all cotton is BT cotton, right? And in 97, the honeybees started dying off, yeah? Now, they frequent cotton, they go for its nectar, they prefer cotton to other plants, yeah, the cotton plant for nectar. They started dying. Morgellons disease arose after 95, yeah? I believe that cotton fiber is the cause of Morgellons disease. That's my opinion. I believe that it gets into your hair, as I said earlier, and then it migrates to your skin. Because it's crossed with Bacillus thuringiensis, the bacteria, which is an agrobacterium,
right,
that can laterally transfer DNA. They know this because the same thing was used from Heterohabditis bacteria foris bacteria.
Yeah.
And they knew that it had laterally transferred DNA, where Yersinia pestis, the Black Plague, yeah?
Bacteria love to swap DNA. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, what happens is they get into your hair. They sit in there because there's no immune system. They adapt to you by interacting with the red and white blood cells.
They get into the follicle. They get into the hair follicle. These cotton fibers are motile. They work their way in there. Then they get into the capillary system that nourishes the hair follicle.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, they go systemic.
Yeah, well, what happens is they basically, your hair follicle contains a liquid, I think it's sebum, yeah? It's hollow, your hair follicle.
Right, right.
If you view them under bright white light or phosphorescent ultraviolet light, you'll see they glow at the tip ends, and you see little drops coming at them as well, your hair follicle, yeah? I videoed all this and put it on YouTube, yeah? And I filmed one in my hair in the early years, moving around like a worm, yeah? It must have just emerged from a hair follicle. And no matter who I showed it to, and I put it on YouTube, it was over 200,000 views. It was viewed as being a worm, it was viewed as being a moving fibre, you know? But now I know what it was, yeah? They get into the hair and they adapt themselves to overcome your immune system, to basically not get recognized by your immune system. They move to your skin, and there a battle starts with your immune system. This is the reaction in your skin, the crawling and the lesions, and it resides in the dermis, in the layer of dermis there, where the immune system is lowest, yeah? And it can reside there for years, and you can have the, I've had the Morgellons symptoms 14 years, and you can have the skin crawling in terrible ways, and then it can go off a bit and relent. But eventually, what's happened with me is, unfortunately for me, it's now moved into my intestines.
That's horrible.
My small intestine. I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
We don't
want to
think.
No, it's the fact. I mean, I'm very pragmatic about this, yeah? My small intestine is riddled with them. When they view my small intestine under X-ray, they tell me I've got fecal impaction, yeah?
But it's not. It's these fibers.
In the small intestine.
I understand. Stand by, Andy. Hold on, please. Yeah. We have to pause just for a minute. We'll come right back. Okay, and we're back. Talking to Andy Coyle in England, who is very seriously ill, and he makes no bones about it. It is Morgellons. It is in his small intestine. It is blocking his small intestine and essentially destroying his ability to digest and process food. And I'll get right back to Andy in a minute, but Cliff Mickelson has been with us and has been listening. Cliff, of course, has been battling Morgellons for 15 years now. Has been on this program many, many, many times with Jan Smith. Hi, Jan. I know you're listening in. You've heard Andy suggest that, in his view, genetically modified BT cotton, the fibers are no longer the same. They are motile. They do test out as containing protein. Cotton's not supposed to be that way. Now, Jeffrey Smith, who has, of course, Seeds of Deception, the book, and so many other things, has been to India to study the BT cotton issue. I'm going to talk to him about this. It's a very intriguing concept that these cotton fibers are the same. I'm not sure if they're the same size or whatever, but if they are motile at all, that's very scary stuff. So, Cliff, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure to be on here.
You want to comment on what Andy's been suggesting so far?
Well, I believe that some of the things that Andy's been saying have been ringing a real bell with me. And, of course, it's those people who know my work realize that I've written several articles on this issue in itself, including one that has gotten a lot of reviews called Cotton, a Clear and Present Danger. Mm-hmm. There's some very strong and striking similarities between what appears to be a normal cotton fiber and some of the manifestations of this affliction, and it's a link.
When you say a normal cotton fiber, you're talking about what's normal now, and that's the majority of cotton is GMO.
That's correct.
But it didn't used to be that way. Okay.
No, it didn't. You're absolutely right. And so one of the things that I have been pushing for a long time is for some research into this particular area. Unfortunately, we haven't had much, but it is fairly apparent to anybody who really does look closely at Morgellons that there's some striking similarities between the motile manifestations of this affliction that you can find on and in your skin and what you can see in GMO cotton.
That's amazing. And Andy Coyle, what is the percentage again of cotton that is GMO to the
90%.
Best of your... 90?
90%. They say it'll be 100% within the next 5 years.
Wow. All right. Say hi to Cliff. He's here.
Hi, Cliff. And I've read your article. I read your article, Clear and Present Danger. I did email you. I discovered that when I was searching for issues of a BT cotton, and I found Cliff's article. And I thought that's amazing because he wrote that a few years before I even came up with the idea. And I thought he cracked that very early on, you know. But To me, it's a fact. I'm sitting here and my intestines are burning in agony. It's like somebody poured boiling water down my throat. And they took biopsies from my duodenum, and it was the white fibers they took out my duodenum, and they could see them as far down as they went, yeah? And I told the surgeon, can you look in my small intestine? And they gave me a colonoscopy in the large intestine. I says, you're not looking where it hurts. I says, can you look in the small intestine? They says, no, we've done enough tests. It's like Satan's involved, and everywhere I turn, I'm blocked by an obstacle to get this discovered, you know, and to get any treatment. And all I want now is pain relief, because I know that there will be no treatment for this. They're growing, they're thinning the growths, the white fibres off through my duodenum. They sent them away to the lab. I know they're all through my small intestine. I can feel it. It's absolute agony. And water can't even travel down my small intestine now.
Andy,
it's so painful, you know.
Andy, do you have other colored fibres in your body? Have you seen
them? I did
them?
In the beginning, in the early stages. What I did find was, when I looked at my lesions and that, I would find fibres, clear and white-type fibres, and then I would focus in, and I think that's what happens when you suffer with Magellan's disease. You focus in, and I would find red and black fibres and different things. But what I discovered is with cotton fibre, pure cotton fibre, is when you look at it under a microscope, it does contain black fibres, believe it or not. Yeah, discovered that as well when I was researching the motile nature of cotton. I discovered there is black fibres contained within it, so there is a variation in colour there as well. But, I videoed one moving in my hair, coming in my hair follicle, and I videoed it for 5 minutes, moving like a worm, yeah? And everybody that's seen it says, it's not a worm, it's a fibre, but it's moving, it looks like a worm, you know? And for years it kind of threw me, you know, and I thought, why can't they find this disease in me? And then I discovered that in 1983, scientists and doctors, Dr. Brewer and Dr. Lueck, done an 8-year study into what they thought was a new worm called Hydatoxilualba. They thought it was the cause of toxemia or pregnancy in women, and they discovered it by accident. They found that the normal blood stain test, right, the right GEMSA test, when they tested for parasites and the like, didn't identify it. But the Tulidine Blue O test did, and they discovered this, and they tested 16 of their staff, and they found it in 14 of their blood. And it was reviewed by parasitologists in the Lancet subsequently, and they turned around and says it's not a worm, it's an actual artifact of cotton. It's a cotton fibre. So I believe that even before the cotton was genetically modified, there was an issue, and the parasitologist says what happens is it becomes worm-like when saturated. And I think cotton's probably always had this ability as a plant, because, you know, plants can move. We know that from fungus and like mycelium. I think it always had this ability to become motile when saturated, worm-like, if you like. And what they've done is, by giving it this Bacillus thuringiensium in 95, they've gave it the ability to infect and affect us, whereas maybe it could before, but it could never affect us because our immune system would quickly overcome it.
Got it. Okay, stand by, Andy. We have to pause again. We'll come right back and continue. Just remarkable. Cliff, this may be a parallel issue. It may be primary. It may be secondary. I don't know, but it sure does match up with your work, too. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Okay. And we're back. Cliff Mickelson is here, and Andy Coyle, who is in sheer agony as Morgellons, or whatever it is concentrated in his small intestine, and he is unable to eat. You've heard him say he thinks he's on the way out. We certainly hope not, Andy, for God's sakes. I know you've been through hell. We're going to talk more about the medical establishment and how they have done everything but lock you up. And they'd probably do that if they had a chance. Now, Cliff, any more comments from you before we go back to Andy?
Well, I think that this is an area, as I said before, that we really need to investigate further. And Jan Smith has done some great work along these lines. She and I have shared notes on this issue and come to some of the same conclusions. She's also done some interesting analysis of some of the fibers that are found in money and in other areas and stuff. And so, you know, I think there's something there, Jeff. There's something there mm-hmm. that relates with cotton. Mm-hmm. And we really, really need to find out what it is before before too much more time gets away.
Cotton fibers are larger than the average Morgellons fiber. They're a little easier to see. Not much, but a little bit. And I don't know. I'm going to link to Andy's name at Rents.com, the video that shows a little piece of a BT cotton fiber, I guess, Andy, in your hair moving. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. And that's damn scary, folks. It looks like a little worm trying to work its way up the hair.
I've got other videos that I actually had to take down and make them private at the moment because when I was in hospital recently, writhing in agony, they just looked at me and wrung their hands and said, oh, we don't know what this is. You might be imagining it. It might be neuropathic pain, you know.
How dare they say you're imagining pain like that?
Well,
how
they went a step further. They even offered me to go into a psychiatric unit and have some injections, yeah. So I just pulled some videos down because my wife was terrified that might happen, you know. And
so they wanted to turn you into a vegetable with psych meds.
Yeah.
Okay.
What could be worse when you're in total agony and they do something like that to you? But I'm putting the videos back up. I mean, I'm past caring now because I'm in so much pain. I'm just in constant agony in my tubes all through my intestines into. They know I've got a growth going on.
Why won't they give you pain, Andy? Why won't they give you pain medication?
Oh, this Dr. Parikh, he's convinced I had irritable bowel syndrome. And even though they found gastritis, duodenitis, and erosions, ulcers, and then they found this white fiber growth in my duodenum, which they took 4 biopsies, sent to the lab, he still doesn't think I'm really suffering any pain, you know. And no matter how much I've begged him, pleaded with him to look in my small intestine, and I've told him, look, you know, the x-rays show that I've got something going on in there. There's fecal impaction, which shouldn't be in a small intestine. The food should move through in 5 hours, and my food's not moving through at all. Or that's what it looks like. It's actually more than that. It's those bloody fibers are all through my intestine, causing blockages and that. And they just wring their hands. And the other day I was in the A&E and the Dr. Fenwick came down and he says to me, oh, it looks like you've got terrible fecal impaction in your small intestine, which is very unusual. We need to take a look at that with a scan. But we wouldn't be able to see anything whilst it's like that. And you've got a partial blockage there as well. But, you know, come back and take some laxatives. This is rubbish what they're saying. I've taken
laxatives.
I burned myself with them.
Yeah, sure. They're not saying that this is a growth like a tumor. They're saying it's an impaction of some kind.
No, the growths they know are some type of growth. White fibrous growth, or through my duodenum. They discovered that with the upper GI scope, and they could find that as far as they looked. And I told them that's all through me. I says, they come out in my stool, they come out in my urine. I says, they're absolutely blinded by rules and regulations.
But how can they, Andy, excuse me. Look, these are supposed to be doctors. How can they not give you pain medication when you're obviously in excruciating pain? Is England that screwed up now?
Yeah. Very much so, you know. I've been up the A&E repeatedly, and they just don't do nothing. They just x-ray me and say, oh, it's the same problem you've got. And
Do you, Andy, think it's possible that somebody up the chain is aware of you very much and knows and has seen the x-rays and has just given the word to the lower doctors to get rid of you and just, they don't want to touch you, they don't want to mess, because somebody somewhere knows what this is?
Oh, no, well, I know that for a fact that when I was in London and I wrote a research document about the disease, I was contacted by somebody from London who said he knew a freelance journalist who wanted to contact me to write a story. And I sent him a copy of my work and the videos of the moving fibre in my hair and stuff like that. Yeah, and he kept ringing me every day, and I was very ill at the time. And he was offering me to see a surgeon at Hammersmith Hospital at his expense. And I got a bit suspicious. And I rung Monsanto's offices in Haxton and Cambridge and asked for him by name at the press office. And they said he wasn't there right now. And it turned out he worked for them at Monsanto. So I've always known Monsanto was behind the cause of the disease. And I've confronted them on a number of occasions. And whether they've put stuff in my medical file or not, all I know is that I'm rubber stamped. I'm Morgellons. Victim, and they class that as an imaginary disease, yeah. And I guess my previous GP, when I would go into hospitals, she'd ring up and tell them, oh, this man thinks he's got Morgellons disease, and she'd done it every time I would go into hospital for different symptoms, so I got rid of her. But you know, it's absolutely
they know the name Morgellons, do they?
Oh,
they,
yes, yeah.
I mean, not for,
yeah.
through you, they already knew it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you're blacklisted when you get hit with the Morgellons
they just,
title.
It's like getting denoticed, you're blacklisted. I understand. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. He's off limits. Keep him out. Marginalize him. Keep him away. Now, the question I have, and it's a question that you've been asked before, I'm sure. Morgellons, the fiber affliction infestation. We have to take a break here, but let me get the question out. The infestation of fibers is in your small intestine. It can be in any organ of the body. It can be in the heart. It can be in the brain. It can be in the liver. It can be in the correct. It can go anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And that's the problem, folks. That's what's killing people, and they're diagnosing it as something else. Stand by. We'll be right back. Okay, back here with you, and our final segment already. Cliff, you want to check in here for a minute or two, and then we'll go back to Andy. This issue of fibers being in potentially all major organs, and certainly the brain, would answer a lot of questions, not just about neuropathies and idiopathic neuropathies, but about dementia, loss of personality, issues that affect the general attitude mentally and emotionally. I mean, these things are probably riddled in the brains of countless people. We don't know.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, Jeff. And this is the catch-22 and the sublime genius of this affliction, if you will, if you want to put it that way, where it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You get these doctors and stuff say, well, this person is delusional or this person is crazy, and, well, this person is delusional because, to an extent, the person is suffering from an affliction that causes that kind of a symptomology. It's a horrible chase-your-tail situation.
Exactly. How many people do we think, Cliff Mickelson, have this infestation now, this terrible affliction? It's not a disease in the sense it's viral or bacteria. It's something else entirely. It's like the body has been taken over by something else. How many people do we think have Cliff Carnicom, Clifford, in his work, he thinks most everybody has evidence of it, and that's the way he's looking at it.
Well, I agree with Clifford on that. I believe that, and also, as Andy was saying earlier, that there's a great majority of people that are infected but not afflicted, if you will,
right,
where they're not showing the signs. And there's tens and tens of thousands, Jeff, out there that we have tens of thousands registered. We have several tens of thousands registered. But there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people out there, and I would dare say millions. This thing is everywhere.
Right.
You can find it. You can find it everywhere.
Right. All right. Andy, are you still there? Hello.
I picked up on what Cliff said about this self-fulfilling prophecy. And talking about prophecies, you know, I went out on a limb to look at into why this disease is so good at hiding itself. Why can't the doctors see it when they're presented with symptoms and the like? And if a disease was going to be better designed to avoid detection, it couldn't have been better designed than this. And then I was researching other things about how this might affect the public when it becomes, worldwide and through the population and the like, you know, and it's just like Cliff said, that these doctors, they look at the symptoms of this disease and they always come up with other explanations, you know. Right, don't they? What will really get you is when you get to the stage, I'm at, any of you Morgulla sufferers listening, you'll be presenting them with physical, hard physical evidence of emissions from your body, where there's thousands of these fibres coming out of you, and they can't be mistaken for anything other than something coming from within you that you haven't eaten, and they still ignore it. They still pointedly ignore it and don't offer any explanation. They just say it's not a worm, and that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was reading the Bible about 666 and the prophecies of Revelations and the like, you know, and somebody had in the internet said Monsanto's name equates to 666 using the old Egyptian alphabet. It's a numerical value system. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, you know, if there ever was a plague visited upon mankind that could have came from Satan himself, it couldn't be worse than this, you know? Something that drives you near to madness in the early years, and then in the latter stages, you're tormented by torturous pain. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm sitting here and I've been thinking of ways to get treatment in one thing and another, you know, and I've even considered, like, you know, cutting myself open and showing them my bloody insides, you know, it's that, the pain's that bad. It's not something I would do, but I mean, to express how bad the pain is, you know, it's that bad, you know, and to still be faced by doctors wringing their hands and saying,
this is criminal. Well, this is absolutely criminal.
And I believe firmly that Monsanto was to blame, you know. I was watching a YouTube broadcast by my son's website, or news website, and Monsanto made a statement that they wouldn't be happy until they had taken over the world with their creations, you know, their genetically modified creations, and I think that's where we're headed, you know. Things like salmon being crossed by pigs and genes and things, you know, and no natural salmon after the next 40 generations and things like that, you know. And I just think, it's madness. They should never have played God, you know, by messing about with the genetics of creation, you know. They did it with the pesticide Heterohabditis bacteriophora. In America, Tom DeLay was sponsored by Monsanto to put a bill through Congress changing the FIFRA Act, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, Rodenticide Act, where they raised the bar and said that anything had to be approved by the FDA for genetic modification, uh-huh, except mm-hmm, nematodes. So Monsanto used that loophole to take a nematode, a vicious, predatorial nematode that is known to invade insects, mm-hmm, leaves bacteria in them that kills them, and then its offspring, it's hermaphrodite, the offspring uptake the bacteria, genetically alter every generation. They genetically altered that way the genes from Rabitidae series of nematodes that does infect humans, giving it heat tolerance and all the rest of it. And they're spraying it around the world, and it's billions of billions. They spray 500 million nematodes per acre on farms. Huh. I mean, this is the things they're doing, you know, and just to ensure they get a bit of crop yield, you know. And,
that's amazing.
And the seeds, they're genetically altering. I rung Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace and told them about the BT cotton and its effect on humans and that, and they kind of hummed and hawed. And I said, you do say on your website that you're concerning yourself with genetically modified plants and the like, and agrobacterium, you know. And they kind of hummed and hawed and said, we'll get back to you, you know. And they never have, you know. And I wonder if these organizations are just there as a front, you know what I mean? Sponsored by companies like Monsanto to keep out a bit of the public interest and think that there's a bit of opposition, you know, because they get everything through, you know, they get everything they want to create, they get created, you know, but they've infected the world, in my opinion, you know. I'm just so sad that my sons, I've got two grown-up boys, 17, 19, one's joined the
Navy. They both have it?
They got it in their hair. Their hair is already black, distended hair roots, yeah.
Okay.
And my wife as well, and the neighbours, and I know it's infecting a lot of people, and I'm just so sad, because I know from my experience, that's the early symptom of the disease is when your hair changes. Your hair roots become black, distended, gooey. Hair roots should be white and egg-shaped. That's a healthy hair root. Even in an Afro-Caribbean person, they're white and egg-shaped, yeah? So, and there's no pigment in a hair root. There's no colour in a hair root. Mm-hmm. So how they can be black and gooey and distended is beyond me, mm-hmm. you know? But these are the things I've presented to doctors through the years, you know? And they just hum and haw and wring their hands, and then they say, oh, you're delusional, you're this, you're that, you know. I mean, just to give you a brief account of my history, I was first infected in 96. Yeah. Went crazy with the disease, trying to find what was causing it, throwing furniture and the like in London. Mm-hmm. Went to Scotland. I was covered in lesions on my face and body. I could see the fibres and the lesions, and I could sometimes see them moving, and my skin was crawling. They put me in a psychiatric unit and started injecting me with a mind-altering drug, Accuphase. I escaped and went to London and had myself in a unit voluntary to get a section. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, you're a bipolar. They wanted to classify me as bipolar.
Right.
And things like that have happened to me in the past with this. So you learn to not speak about it, you know, and you learn... when you present yourself with different symptoms, you know that as soon as you mention Morgellons, the door slams in your face, you know what I mean? So you kind of skip the issue.
Maybe you can find another hospital to go in and not mention Morgellons and get at least some pain relief. This is outrageous.
I was thinking that myself, actually, you know, to go in another hospital.
Yeah, I think this is an idea.
Computerized, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm so despair about it, you know, because I know myself what's happening inside me, you know, and I can't eat, and even drinking water's painful, and it takes so long for the water to glug down my, and I'm so clogged up, and they know this. They've seen it in the x-ray, and my GP said to me, it's impossible. You can't have fecal impaction in your small intestine. That's impossible. And I says, but ring Dr. Fenwick in the hospital. He'll tell you. That's what my x-ray shows. Oh, no. You must have picked him up wrong. You know, this is what you're faced with.
This is crazy.
It's absolutely criminal.
Yeah,
you know,
Andy,
it's totally criminal.
Andy, we're almost out of time. I want to tell you that you've touched a lot of people tonight, and there are a lot of people pulling for you and sending good thoughts. So don't feel...
Thank you.
That they are not paying attention. They are. Cliff, a final comment from you very quickly, please.
Well, yes, Jeff. What Andy said, he's been on the money tonight with a lot of things he said, and I would like to encourage him to keep on keeping on. You know, this is all about survival, and we've got to work together to pull through this. There's lots of us out there, and we're going to keep on pushing until we get answers. This thing has a key, and we're going to find it. We're going to unlock this mystery.
Very good. Andy, bless you. Don't give up, please.
No.
You're carrying an incredible weight. Try to go to a different hospital. Try and go under a different net. Whatever. Do whatever it takes, but you deserve not to be in such pain. This is terrible. Take care, my friend, and thank you so much for getting up and being on the program.
Thanks, yeah.
Okay. All right, Andy. All right, Cliff, thank you for being here. Pretty damn discouraging to hear this.
Absolutely, Jeff, but we're going to keep on keeping on.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight. Wow. We'll be back tomorrow with another program and continue to do our best to give you the best information by which you can process and make your own decisions about things in life. This Morgellons, though, is a very, very big story. We'll be back tomorrow night.